Eli, you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it went quiet for a minute. Just check. Okay. Waiting for the music to come in.
Okay. Oh, you can't hear the music?
I cannot.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I'm hearing you fine. So
that's no good. You should be hearing the music. Okay. Maybe the people listening can let me know.
but you are hearing me. Okay.
Yes, I'm hearing you fine. Okay. And we're on the air. So why the music isn't being heard by you is strange. But in any case, we're here.
Worst case, I will reboot and jump back in. You let me know if you can hear me.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay.
Right, so let me just check the broadcaster. And broadcaster is on and got good sound. And welcome, folks. Pastor Eli James and Pastor Greg Howard, this is Yahweh's Covenant People for January 27, 2017. And this is going to be part three in our series on debunking the accusers of Christian identity. And the first two shows we devoted to Wikipedia and what the lies that Wikipedia tells about us. And today and probably next week, another two-part, the ADL. What the ADL has to say about us. Now, Pastor Howard is having difficulty getting his browser going, but he is on Skype, and Skype is working. I found that happens occasionally, that Skype will work and the internet browser won't work, but Skype will work. So I'm going to have to read the copy, and Greg's just going to have to listen because he can't bring it up on his computer. So anyway, here is the ADL. Extremism in America, Christian identity. And here's what they have to say. Christian identity is a religious ideology popular in extreme right-wing circles. That's true. Adherents believe that whites of European descent can be traced back to the lost tribes of Israel. Many consider Jews to be the satanic offspring of Eve and the serpent, while non-whites are mud peoples created before Adam and Eve. Its virulent, racist, and anti-Semitic beliefs are usually accompanied by extreme anti-government state sentiments. Despite its small size, Christian identity influences virtually all white supremacist and extreme anti-government movements. It has also informed criminal behavior ranging from hate crimes to acts of terrorism. Now, every statement in there is true except the last one, because we do not inform hate, we do not produce, do hate crimes and or acts of terrorism. That's just a blatant, all-out lie. And here, that's the introduction to the article. The Lost Tribes Found, it says. One of the most remarkable developments in the extreme right in the United States. Now, actually, the extreme right is the constitutional right. Okay? How do you feel? Have you ever met any extreme rightists who weren't proponents of the U.S. Constitution and the Bible?
Well, brother, you know, we've discussed this before. Our enemies would want to define who we are and what we believe, and we just cannot allow that. Who are they to tell us what we believe and to frame our beliefs in their definition? You know, and this has been going on for centuries. You know, this. I mean, in the New Testament, they called the New Testament white believers a sect.
Right.
You know, this troublesome sect. You know, this group of troublesome white believers. You know, and no doubt they did the same thing the Jews are doing now. Just slamming us and calling us violent and anti-government and, you know, doing everything in their power to slander us with a little bit of truth thrown in, but yet, you know, they want to denigrate us from every angle, you know, and this is what they do. They have really mastered the art of controlling the flow of information. Is that not what they do? That's why they hate the internet. That's why they would love to shut the internet down. The internet is really the one way that the truth can be found out today by anybody.
Yes, yes. Well, no. Here they make this statement, anti-government. That's not true.
We're not. I would say
we are
anti-Jewish controlled government.
There you go, right.
But we are not anti-government. We, you know, I mean, Eventually, when Yahweh controls this earth through the theocratic government that is coming in the coming age, we will be the greatest proponents of government that have ever existed on the planet. But the Jewish dominated, the Jewish subverted government of the white nations today, yes, we stand against it. But, you know, we're not storming them. We're not shooting them up. We're not attacking them. We silently rebel. We pray. We fight in our own way. We're the most submissive people that have ever lived on the earth.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Too submissive.
Yeah, that's right.
Really. Yeah. Too submissive for our own good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I actually heard the term pathological altruism on the radio today. And I was so tired coming home from work, I forgot the context. But that's usually a term that we use, right, for the rest of the white race. Pathological
right.
Altruism. And apparently it's catching. it's a disease that only white people get.
It is a good term to describe us.
Yes.
Pathological meaning it's a disease. Altruism meaning we stupidly believe that we can elevate other races to our own level.
Yeah.
And
with
it
acts
is not
of kindness.
Meant to be.
With acts of kindness.
You know, that's the very basis of universalism in Christianity.
It is.
The altruism is. That we feel that if we have salvation, we must share it with all the other races. Yahweh never had such a view. You know?
That's right.
The Jews have so subverted our theology that we don't even know our own truths anymore outside of Christian identity.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of Christian identity. The truth exists here. And in the Judeo-Christian churches, as they're called, I don't know really what to call them. They're out trying to save these other races. And these other races...
And they can't even save themselves.
These other races were never meant to be saved. You know?
That's correct.
I mean,
yes.
You can make a very simple, direct case that Yahshua Christ only came to the earth to save one group of people, the true racial Israelites, the true racial seed of Jacob and the 12 tribes. And we have just obviously come to a conclusion that that's the Caucasian race and no one else.
Amen.
So these all the missionary work, the sending missionaries to the dark nations, trying to get them to pray a prayer to Jesus and be saved. It's all a Jewish psyop.
Yeah.
It was never meant to be. There is no eternal life for the other races. There's no forgiveness of their sins for the other races. It's just too clear once you see it.
Right. They never had the law to begin with. Only Israel was given the law. So here it's the adjectives they choose. Virulent, racist, and anti-Semitic beliefs. Well, first of all, if Yahweh hates Edomites, then we're supposed to hate him too. But our racism is not virulent. It's actually self-protective. It's our racism is to defend the race, not to attack other races. We only defend ourselves from the other races when they attack us. I'm not aware that, in fact, that poem by I forget his name now, Rudyard Kipling, The Wrath of the Awakened Saxon, describes our race perfectly. We were slow to anger, slow to act, right?
We are. Look at us.
Yeah.
Is there any other race that would put up with what we've put up with?
No.
I mean, to this day, I wouldn't say that
certainly
we've awakened.
Certainly the Jews wouldn't. Yeah, right.
You know, we've begun to awaken, and there's a few of us that are awake. But our race as a whole, you know, they're far more interested in who's playing in the Super Bowl than the salvation of their own children.
That's
and
right.
The racial purity continuation of our race. You know, it boggles my mind to see our people, our men, our women, how they are just in a stupor. They walk through life right now just seeing very little, if anything, of the truth around them. You know, that the world is arrayed against them, that the Jews have set their destruction as a goal, that other races have been put upon them, and the brainwashing is going on 24/7. And so few people seem to see it, even now. Yeah. You know, there's a little bit of an awakening, but still, day after day, I talk to people all the time, and I try to gauge, where are you when I'm talking to you? J- you have any racial enlightenment whatsoever, even a little bit? And very few do. Some do, but yeah, most still, you know, if you said the word nigger to them, they'd get all crazy and offensive that you were the biggest racist on the planet.
Right.
You know, it's incredible. I just...
But yet, but if you use the F word, you're okay.
Yeah, right. There's a handful of us in Christian identity
yeah.
that have been shown the amazing truth of Yahweh and the truth of the white race, who the white race on the earth really is. Brother, we're the divine race on the planet.
That's right.
We are Amen. Directly related to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Adam, the prophets, Christ himself.
Amen.
These are all our brethren. In the blood, not spiritually, but literally. And the handful of us that sees this, we are a blessed people. And yeah, we're persecuted, and yeah, the ADL wants to try to tell us that we're very virulently racist and haters and anti-government, and we bomb buildings. And you know, they're such liars. They
yep.
are such, they're the greatest liars on the planet, the Jews.
Amen. Yeah,
they
and
are
we're going to
prove
it. We're going to prove it. Like this word anti-government would make people think that we're anarchists, right? That's what anti-government means. It means anarchists. We're not anarchists at all. We believe in Yahweh's
yeah.
government, true government, legal government, constitutional government, not Jewish government.
Well, we came out in droves and voted for Trump when we probably, most of us, hadn't voted for a while.
Right.
Because we finally saw someone worth voting for.
Yes.
And believe me, I'm not a huge political guy. I don't trust much in politics. But clearly, Trump was the man of the hour in that moment. I mean, that was the easiest choice of all time. Him or the Hildebeest. It had to be him. And that was the first time I voted in years. But I voted. And I voted for him. And he won, and we'll see how it plays out. I think he's might be the catalyst to really rattle the feathers of the Jews and really see them unleash what they think they can unleash.
Yes,
we're living in a very interesting time right now,
yeah.
because he is showing the enlightenment that he kept hidden many of his beliefs, because just politically he couldn't come out and say what he really thought. Or you'd never get elected, you know. And we'll see how it plays out. I have little faith in politics or politicians, but so far I find Trump interesting to watch. By the
yeah.
way, I mean, compared to Hillary, he's
right.
a home run. So, you
yeah.
know, whatever she'd have done,
well, he says
you know,
he's
whatever
gonna build
he's
going to
do is...
Yeah, he's given
I can't
orders
even
to
imagine the Hildebeest in there, what she would have done in her first few
yeah.
days.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he's overturned several of Obama's executive orders. So, you know, we'll see how far he goes. Yeah, maybe he'll be a right wing extremist.
Now that he's in, he realizes, hey, at a minimum, I've got 4 years to get in here and do what I want. So,
right. Yeah.
So far, I like what I see.
So yeah, it's been much better than I anticipated, actually. But here, let's this last statement here. That Christian identity has also informed criminal behavior ranging from hate crimes to acts of terrorism. And that's simply not true. The biggest, supposed adherent of identity that is known for bombing an abortion mill
yeah.
is Eric Rudolph. Now, Eric Rudolph did... attend a couple of meetings that were identity based, but he
right.
was never a member of the group. He just attended meetings, and the same thing is true of Timothy McVeigh. We'll get to McVeigh shortly.
Yeah, I mean, can you really paint a whole entire group based on the actions of one?
Yeah.
If that's the case, what could we do to Jews based on the behavior of it? You know, how about the two Jew boys? In the Columbine massacre at the high
right.
school.
Yep.
Are they typical of all Jews? Then all
yep.
Jews are,
yes, they are.
murderous, rampaging high school school shooters.
Right.
They should all be locked up.
Hey,
you know, if we can judge an entire group based on the actions of one rogue individual, well,
yeah.
then the Jews ought to all be put in jail.
Well,
look what those two Jews
yes.
did in Columbine.
Here are Eric Rudolph's own words. He has a website called armyofgod.com. and Eric Rudolph racism.html. Racism by Eric Rudolph. Recently, I have been accused of being a white supremacist and of espousing Christian identity. It is an old accusation and one that is without foundation, but I have been asked to clarify my position on race, so here goes. From my writings, you will notice that I am a constant critic of racism. I am, for example, against organizations like the NAACP and its racist policies and affirmative action and race-based quotas. I am opposed to racist groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center and their hate crimes agenda. I am a critic of Barack Obama and his longtime association with the racist Reverend Wright, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, and lately I question the racial motives of black Christians, in quotes, who voted overwhelmingly for Obama, the most anti-Christian politician in American history. I know my perception of racism is not taken from the approved paradigm, the paradigm that has a Klansman or a Nazi lurking around every corner, ready to pounce on an unsuspecting minority, the paradigm that believes that white racism is still perversive in American society. But institutional white racism went out of fashion 50 years ago. Today, the specter of white racism is a boogeyman, a political tool our Marxist masters used to frighten away opposition. Intelligent guy.
Yeah. No, he's saying some good things there.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably deep down, he's probably Christian identity, doesn't even know he's Christian identity.
Right. Yes. Yeah, like you know. I said, he went to a couple of Nord Davis meetings, and that's it. You know, and he on his own, of his own accord, he went and bombed an abortion mill. A couple of people got killed. And he went to jail for it. And, but that does not make him a member of Christian identity, right?
Well, even if he did identify as one of us,
uh-huh.
I wouldn't condemn him for such an act.
No, neither would I.
You know, it's not something I would do, but mm-hmm. I feel very strongly against abortionists. I feel they're satanic individuals. Most of them are Jews.
Yes.
By and large, the vast majority of doctors that are abortionists are Jewish.
Yes.
They're drawn to it because they can make a good living and they can kill people. And that
right. kill white
people. Fits the Jewish soul to a perfect job.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, he didn't kill one of the Jewish abortionists. The security guard and I think a receptionist got killed. So, mm-hmm. This is an act, what most people would call terrorism. You know, and but he felt that because both of those people were employees of a baby murdering facility, he felt he was doing God's justice. Okay, that's how he felt.
I would not argue with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with him
it's
either.
Not, it's, you know, not it's not something that I would do, but you know, yeah. if someone felt led to that and. These were people that were involved in the murder of small children right. on a daily basis. Hey, maybe it was just Yahweh's judgment upon them, and so be it.
Yeah, so you be know? It. Yeah,
I mean, we don't advise it, but right. I understand it.
And if you do something like that, you have to be prepared to face the consequences, and yes. Eric Rudolph did. Okay. So what about Timothy McVeigh and Elohim City? This is an article called Who's Afraid of Elohim City? And the following is a collaboration by Leroy Chapman and Joshua Klein. Bad men are drawn to the city of God. The Southern Poverty Law Center calls it the meeting ground for America's most sinister extremists. And this Elohim City is in the northeast corner of Oklahoma. Many Oklahomans regard it as the most dangerous and mysterious place in the state. For 30-plus years, a small, isolated community in northeastern Oklahoma has been the subject of endless scrutiny. Law enforcement agencies and conspiracy theorists insist that Elohim City is a breeding ground for neo-Nazis and anti-government militias hell-bent on overthrowing the Zionist-occupied government of the United States. Okay.
Eli, have you ever noticed if you're white and you love being white and you love your fellow whites that you're an extremist?
That's right. There must be.
I mean, you are the worst kind of neo-Nazi extremist, right? Hater, white supremacist.
Right. Anti-Semite.
Because you want to be with people that look like you.
Holocaust denier.
You know?
Right.
I mean, it amazes me that every other race is allowed to have a racial solidarity, and they're encouraged to. You know, yeah. Where I live, they have Puerto Rican festival weekend up here every year. Yeah. Right. And invariably, 50 to 100 people are arrested. But every weekend, the Puerto Ricans, the blacks, right, they're all allowed to have their cultural celebration and everything else. But do you know what weekend up here we have the European celebration where we're allowed to celebrate our white heritage?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That doesn't get to happen. We don't ever get to have that. And if anyone ever mentioned that, that person would be an extremist.
That's
and
right.
And a hater. Uh-huh. Because that would be a sign of solidarity.
Neo-Nazi, anti-Semite.
Yeah. Right. If the white race is allowed to meet together, that's hatred. That's mm-hmm. bigotry. This is the Jew at work trying to define who we are, what we can do, how we can live our lives. And, you know, I'm past the point where I care what anybody calls me. Somebody calls me a racist anymore. To me, it's a compliment.
Yeah.
I go, thank you for noticing. I do love my own race. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah.
You know?
Why don't you?
It doesn't mean, yeah. It doesn't right. mean I hate the other races because right. I want to be with my own kind.
Yeah.
I just want to be with people that look like me.
Most
like
liberals.
Every other creature on this planet.
Most liberals the animal live with world. Their own kind.
Yeah.
They don't even associate with blacks. They just pretend to love them. Right?
You know, I mean, I marvel. The other day, yesterday, I was out at the mall. And I saw a white guy, blonde hair, blue eyes, good-looking white guy, with this morbidly obese black woman and three race-mixed kids. And I looked, and I'm watching them, and I'm observing them, and I'm looking, and I'm going, what possessed you to share your genes with this creature? To have three, I don't even want to call them children, I'll just call them offspring. To have three mongrels with this creature,
mm-hmm.
I wanted Amazing. To just grab him and go,
yeah,
are you out of your,
him.
What right. got into your yeah. mind to make you think this is what you needed to do?
Maybe she
and they
has
had
money.
Three little race mixed kids.
Right? Yeah.
I was
did you say the mall
was,
or the zoo?
Yeah, I was looking at someone who to me was doomed. Someone who had cast away thousands of years of racially pure genetics
right.
for whatever reason and mixed his genes with literally an animal and had three mongrel children. And I don't know. I was grieved.
Yeah,
I wanted to just
Very
go
sad.
Up and just grab him and go, what possessed you to do that? Of course, I'd have been arrested for a hate crime, so I didn't do it. But, you know, the Jew has brought us to this point where we're willing to cast away our thousands of years of racial purity because we think it's the right thing to do. We don't want to look like we're racist. So I'll marry this black girl and have children with her. I love her.
Yeah.
I mean, I marvel at the stupidity. And right. what was the term you used earlier?
Pathological. Right. Right.
That's a
right.
perfect example of it. A deadly stupidity is a better way of
right.
saying it.
Deadly stupidity.
Deadly
right.
racial naivete stupidity is what is many of our people have. Our women are the worst. Women more so than men. It's rare to see a man hook up with a black woman, but all the time you see a white woman hooked up with a black.
Yeah.
Invariably it ends up as a disaster.
Right?
Oh, almost invariably. 99% of the time the woman ends up either dead or beaten to a pulp. Or if she's lucky, she has a couple of mongrels, and then the guy takes yeah. off or goes to jail and doesn't yeah. kill her.
If she's,
and she's
lucky.
Just left with a lifelong, you know, right. reminder
Rude.
Of her stupidity.
Right.
That's the best it can work out.
Yeah.
Right there. That's as good as it gets.
Yeah. But our reputation has been provided by the Jews.
Yes.
The article continues, the most damning accusation suggests Elohim City played a central role in the planning and execution of the Oklahoma City bombing. Of course, that's totally false. And the Elohim City actually threw Timothy McVeigh out because he was talking about bombing, blowing things up. All right. When he was talking about blowing things up, they sent him packing. All right. When asked if she'd ever had the chance to visit Elohim, a woman with the Stillwater Democrat Journal deadpanned, "No, we like to breathe." Well, it's interesting we have such a reputation that people are afraid of us. Maybe they should be afraid of us. "I find them to be quite upstanding citizens of my community," says Adair County Sheriff Austin Young. Okay, so
yeah,
the local sheriff.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Christians
that love Yahweh and, you know, white Christians that love their own race are actually good citizens.
Yeah, they're actually good citizens. But the newspapers and the Jews have the total opposite opinion, right? Who's telling the truth, folks? The article says, "A sharp, stern man with a military presence, Mr. Young has the towering, no BS persona of a Clint Eastwood character. His white hair is neatly cropped, his eyes maintain contact and rarely blink. Quote, what I read in the papers, I never experienced that with them," he says. Okay?
Interesting.
So he agrees with us that the newspapers and the Jews lie about us. That's the local
sheriff.
Well,
you know, it's funny, in the last few months, the lies of the press have really become manifest in regard to Trump. You know, up until literally halfway through the election day, he has no chance. He's not going to win. Hillary's going to win in a landslide. Lie, 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 lie. And all of a sudden, it became clear they had been lying all the way through everything. And then it became clear that they had been lying all along. And those of us that really understand the Jewish domination of the media realize they've been lying forever.
Yeah.
Ever since they've been in control. Everything about these major news outlets, CNN comes to mind, first of all. You can't trust a single word that you read there.
Yeah.
It's not just controlled information. It's disinformation. It's outright lies. And I appreciate how Trump has just basically told them to shove it up their rear end.
That's right.
He's basically told them just, you know, you guys
that's where their news
are
comes
nothing.
From. Yeah, right.
You're fake news.
Right.
You know, well, how gutsy to say that. Got to admit, it's cool to see a president stand up to the Jews a little bit. I appreciate that about Trump.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's kind of lifted the rock up and shined the light on them a little bit.
Yeah, right. The snakes and cockroaches called the New York Times and the Washington Post, etc.
Filthy kikes like, you know, Wolf Blitzer,
right.
The ultimate Jew newsman, Wolf. I mean, what a liar
Wolf kike.
Is.
Wolf kike. Wolf kike Blitzer. Yeah, right.
The flames of hell are kindled waiting for him.
Yeah.
They can't wait to get their hands on that kike.
Yes, amen. This is how Sheriff Young says he met up with the people at Elohim City. Young says that as a game warden of Sequoia County, just south of Adair, in the early 80s, he once received a report of poaching that ultimately led him to Elohim City, where the suspect resided. As he approached the entrance of the community, he was met by Elohim City founder Robert Millar and several armed guards. Young politely told Millar that the weapons made him a little nervous. Robert said to me, "Well, you have a firearm, don't you? Don't you think that makes us nervous?" The sheriff remembers. So I unholstered my weapon and placed it in my vehicle, and then he sent the armed guards away. Horrible, horrible people!
What a
hater.
They
were armed! They're such haters! Right? This is... It's amazing.
A white with a gun, how scary,
right?
You know?
Yeah, right. Shortly after the Oklahoma City bombing, a rumor spread that members of Elohim were planning a terrorist attack in Stillwell during the town's annual Strawberry Festival. Young called and asked him point blank if the rumor was true. Millar answered, "Of course not. We would never do that. The Strawberry Festival went off without an incident." Right?
Yeah. I mean, let's face it, brother. We don't like violence, unnecessary violence.
Yeah.
And we would never do violence that would harm our own kind.
Yeah.
To this day, I assume you know the story fairly well about Timothy McVeigh and the Oklahoma Federal Building being blown up. I would bet against McVeigh even having done it.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I would bet against that he even did it.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You know? It's probably some, you know, Mossad operative that
yes,
did it.
Yes, exactly.
Would be my guess.
Oh, yeah.
Just like 9/11. You know, they're the masters of the, you know, the false flag. And, I mean, I wouldn't want to do any kind of violence that hurt my own kind. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
We are the divine race. I do not feel that I have ever the right to harm any of my own race, apart from, you know, the right of self-defense, which, of course, we all have at any given time. But, you know, we're not terrorists. The Jews would paint us as some kind of subversives. They are the subversives, not us.
Yes.
They're such liars.
Amen. Ugh,
one of these days, it's all going to come down on their head. And I praise Yahweh that we're going to be hopefully here to see it and participate in it when it all blows up in their face. They've got such a judgment coming to them. Oh, what a judgment that they are owed. And it's going to come to them soon.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it talks about Stephen Jones, who was Timothy McVeigh's lawyer. Now, obviously, I think Timothy McVeigh was a Manchurian candidate, and Strassmeyer was probably his handler. And on the day of the bombing, Strassmeyer disappeared, and then Timothy McVeigh somehow wound up in a trance, driving north. On the passenger side, he's driving alone toward Denver, and he was driving alone with a loaded pistol on the passenger seat and a book by Richard Kelly Hoskins, I think War Cycles, Peace Cycles. Now, Hoskins is Identity, okay. But he also had, I think, a copy of that William Pierce book, that fiction book by William Pierce. I forget what it's called. So he had those
Turner Diaries,
yes. He had those two books on the back seat and a loaded revolver on the passenger seat, driving like trance-like on the highway, you know, and with expired tags. So he was just dying to be pulled over, as it were, okay? So because obviously these books were planted on the back seat of the car just to plant people's in people's minds the idea, oh, Timothy McVeigh must be one of those Christian Identity terrorists.
Yeah, and you can judge the entire thing of Christian Identity by the actions of this one guy.
Right. Yeah, who wasn't even a member of the group, right?
Right.
Yes. Yes. So folks, this is how the Jews and their puppet media lies about us. Just a couple of examples here. We could give many, many more. You know, last week we mentioned the Gordon Kahl incident where he was ambushed and murdered in cold blood by, you know, the police officers or the sheriff. Any police officer does not have a right to blockade the street and, you know, and tell you to get out of your car without a warrant. If they're looking for you, they have to have a warrant. And they didn't have a warrant. So they just opened fire. They just opened fire without warning. Okay? Gordon Kahl must have been a really bad guy, right? He was a constitutional patriot who believed in Christian Identity. And that was an explosive combination. The IRS, it was the IRS that targeted Gordon Kahl for execution.
Yeah, you do today have to know how to handle yourself with police.
That's right.
No question about that, and understand your rights and how to assert them and but how to act. Because police today, I view most of them as, you know, professional assassins that can shoot you and just claim that they feared for their life, and then their fellow police will back them up and they'll say, yeah, well, you know, he feared for his life. So he was justified to shoot, you know, that little four-year-old who reached for his lunchbox.
Right.
I mean, you know, so you have to know how to act around police today.
Yeah.
Basically, avoiding them is the best philosophy, I think.
Yeah.
Just avoid interaction with them. And if you do have to interact with them, handle yourself appropriately. You know,
a lot of police today get their training. They go to Israel to get training. So they watch Israeli soldiers murdering 2 and 3 year old kids with a shot in the head. And so, oh, that's how you guys operate. Yeah, okay, we'll do that. No, when I get back, I'll do that too.
Yeah, they clearly train them. I mean, you know, a cop today, the age of video and YouTube has really enlightened most of us as to how the police really are. Dangerous to deal with them. I avoid them at all costs. I always try to avoid cops.
You're best off not getting pulled over.
I'm a law-abiding guy. I got my license plate up to date. I drive the speed limit. You know,
right.
I do carry a firearm at all
times. Check your signal lights.
And I always, legally, I carry a firearm. But, you just best to avoid cops. I don't know how else to say it.
Right.
I don't want to have interactions with them.
Don't give them an excuse to pull you over. Just do not give them an excuse to pull you over because it could turn ugly real fast. So
no doubt about that.
Yeah. But today, even disregarding, how should I put it, Rambo cops, right? Rambo cop. A lot of cops are just afraid, especially in black communities. They're afraid. They're afraid to pull a black guy over because they might get killed. You know, and if they don't get killed, then the black neighborhood will pounce on them, right? So,
well, believe me, cops. When they pull someone over and they look in the window and see a white person, I think it calms them down.
Right, exactly.
Because the vast majority of cops that are shot by Negroes.
That's right.
So they look in, they see a white face, they see a white guy acting calm, handing them a license. I think it calms them down.
Yeah.
You know? And if you're smart, you kind of play that card. You play the intelligent, relaxed, law-abiding white person, which is essentially what we are. And you put the cop at ease, back him off. And I don't know, we have to live with wisdom in this current insane world that we live in. The reason I carry a firearm is because I live in an area where Negroes reside. And to me, they're feral jungle animals that would just slit your throat for a nickel at any given moment. And I'm not going to allow that to happen. So I'm lucky enough to have a pistol permit in the state I live in. I can carry a gun legally, and I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've carried it for over 30 years. I've never used it once. But there's been hundreds of times I was glad I had it with me. You know, you just see certain things. You see four or five blacks in your vicinity, and you just realize when blacks are around, anything, a riot can break out over nothing.
Yeah, right.
They can walk up to you and just see a white person and go crazy and attack you just because they hate you.
Right. Or they might want your sneakers.
It can be that simple.
Don't wear Air Jordans. Right.
Here's a white guy in his late 50s. Let's just beat the hell out of him because we enjoy doing it.
Yeah, he voted for Trump. Yeah. Don't wear Air Jordans in a black neighborhood, folks. Right. They'll kill you for them. All right. Next paragraph. Lost tribes found. One of the most remarkable developments in the extreme right. Of course, there's that word extreme, right? Can't be constitutional, right? In the United States in the past few decades has been the rise of an obscure religious ideology known as Christian identity.
Obscure,
right? Yes.
Notice how they use words so well. Extremist. Obscure ideology.
Yeah. Right.
You got to give them credit. They really craft words.
Damning with faint praise. Obscure. Penetrate. Well, if we're so obscure, why are they so worried about us? Right?
Yeah. Read on, brother, that this has just recently come out about this 12 tribe thing.
Right. Penetrating existing racist and anti-Semitic groups and movements, identity has inflamed their bigotry with religious fervor and also sparked the creation of many new groups. Well, there's no bigotry involved. Again, it's just simply racial self-defense and adherence to the principles of the Bible. That's all it is.
Amen.
Here we go again with the false accusations. Adherents have committed hate crimes, bombings, and other acts of terrorism. No, I'm not aware of a single hate crime or act of terrorism by anybody in identity.
Brother, we are the most docile group on the planet.
Right?
We really should be more radical deep down if you think about it. But we are, our trust is not in our own actions to bring about Yahweh's kingdom on this earth. If it was, we would become that group that was more violent. You know, if we felt we had to bring about by our own actions the changes that we would like to see.
Yeah.
We trust in Yahweh.
Amen.
You know, we're not here to commit acts of violence. We don't do it for the most part. Yeah, once in a while one of us goes off the rails, but in the insane world that we live in, that's almost understandable.
That's right. Yeah, in fact, I'm surprised it hasn't happened more often.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So am I.
Yeah.
I am too. Right. I sometimes look at myself and go, how have you not gone off the rails once in a while?
Okay.
And just, you know,
yeah, you know,
gone
what?
Down and spray painted a swastika on a synagogue or something. I mean, I never have. You know,
right.
The rabbis take care of that for me. They go out and paint their own swastikas on synagogues.
Right. Now, when was the last time, whether in the state of New York, state of Illinois, or United States, has a neo-Nazi or a Klansman or a Christian identist attacked a group of black people or a group of Jews? When was the last time?
Have we ever? I mean, the way they're describing it, you'd think that we're out there every night, you know, raising hell
like
down in the black neighborhoods and in the Jewish neighborhoods.
Stringing up Jews and niggers, right?
Yeah, it never happens.
It never happens. It just does not happen, folks.
Boy, for a bunch of extremists, we're just not getting it done.
Yeah, our reputation is really good. Makes everybody afraid of us. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a good thing. All right. It continues. But folks, the lies are so blatant and obvious. It's amazing. Identity's current influence ranges from Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazi groups to the anti-government. There's anti-government. No, we're not anti-government. We're a just government. We're pro-just government. We're pro-constitution. We're opposed to Zog, however. Anti-government militia. Now, wait a minute. The militia, according to the Constitution, is every able-bodied man, and I believe every able-bodied woman, too, who wants to, you know, bear an arm. So, every able-bodied person who can carry a gun. Citizen. That's the militia.
Yeah, we're not looking to overthrow the government.
Mm-hmm.
We hate Zog, yes, no doubt whatsoever.
We're looking to overthrow Zog, but not the government. They're not our government.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, our current situation is interesting right now. White man got put into the White House and seems to be
really
turning
things
back in our direction. And no wonder there's such a backlash against Trump right now. The Jews are kind of out of their minds right now that he's in there. You know?
Yeah, sort of libtards.
Interesting to watch it develop. I hope Trump has mega security around him. I think that he's smart enough to realize he's a real target.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think he's got to understand that what he's doing makes him a real target for the powers that be, the Jewish powers that be.
Yeah.
They hate him that much, and I'll just assume that he's taking all precautions. I'm certain he is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if you want to talk about hate, just look at how the left's attitude toward Trump. That's
unbelievable.
Real hatred. That's real hatred, folks.
Unbelievable. They just, you know, there's no shame anymore.
Yeah.
They just lay it all out there. The guy can do no right.
Yeah.
The guy could come up with the cure for cancer and they'd find a way to chew him up and spit him out.
He did it wrong.
Well, you know, he should have come out with it before. You know, thousands have died.
Right.
Why'd he wait so long? I mean, the guy can do no right. So,
that's right.
You know, when the Jews frame the argument and when the Jews supply the narrative, you can count on if it's directed to a white person, it will always be negative 100% of the time. Unless it's a true goyim, you know, goy-like shill like Hillary, where they would, you know, look how they propped up the Negro over the last 8 years, Obama.
Yeah.
Look how they covered that worthless animal.
Right.
Who can only imagine what really went on in the White House in the last 8 years? You can't even imagine the filth and the probable homosexuality and transgenderism and all the who knows nonsense that went on and there wasn't a bleep of it covered in 8 years. That shows you where the media is.
Right.
You know, yeah. Unbelievable.
I see Obama doing his voodoo ritual, witch doctor dance, right around the desk in the Oval Office.
Who knows?
That's what I see. Yeah, right.
I hope Trump came in and had the place seriously fumigated.
Right.
You know, at least the bathrooms.
Right.
I mean, I want them steam cleaned, brother.
Right.
Twice.
Right.
Maybe three times.
But here, they're giving us a lot of credit for having influence. You know, they said we influenced the Klan, neo-Nazis, the militia, sovereign citizens movement, and even, I would have to say, the prepper movement. The prepper movement's aware of our existence, so there's more awareness of Christian identity than they're willing to admit. But they are admitting it. They are admitting it. They're just downplaying
it. That's right. And, you know, I assume most of us listening to this show are past the point where we worry about how the Jews describe our beliefs and who we are. You know, maybe some that are new or possibly exploring Christian identity are more influenced by this type of Jewish lie. And to those people, I would just say, dig deeper. Keep looking.
Yeah.
You know, go to Eli's website. Eli, what's your website again? It's www.anglo-saxon.com, right?
Anglo-saxonisrael.com.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah. You know, you want the truth about the true Christian identity beliefs, go to Eli's website. Don't go to Wikipedia. Don't go to a Jewish website
don't go to
ADL. I mean, if you just Google Christian identity, probably the first handful of websites that come up are 90% lies,
Jewish.
10% truth.
Right.
And just ignore them and keep digging, because Christian identity is the true Christian religion for the white race. And if you're interested in it, keep digging and you'll find it. It's right there at your fingertips.
Yes.
Keep looking.
Well, now, it's interesting, you know, here again, they switch back and forth between lies and truth. Next paragraph.
That's what they do. They do throw in some truth, don't they?
Right.
They do.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to read this whole paragraph and let you comment. We only have about 10 minutes left. Christian identity's origins can be traced back to the 19th century in Great Britain, where a small circle of religious thinkers advanced the idea known as British Israelism or Anglo-Israelism, that modern Europeans were biologically descended from the ancient Israelites of the Old Testament, specifically from the lost tribes scattered by invasions of Hittites, Assyrians, and Babylonians. The lost tribes had purportedly made their way to Europe, and from them descended the modern European nationalities. Is that
a little
fair?
Bit of truth thrown in
little
there.
A little bit of truth. Okay. So the lost tribes weren't actually scattered by Hittites and Babylonians. The lost tribes were scattered exclusively by the Assyrians. Okay.
Right.
The Assyrians took the 10 northern tribes hostage, you know, kidnapped the whole tribes, all 10 tribes were kidnapped in portions of the two southern tribes. And so this is accurate what they're saying, with the exception of the statement about the Hittites and Babylonians. And they don't try to poo-poo the idea in this paragraph. Okay. So a small circle of religious thinkers. Next paragraph. These peculiar views arrived at through creative interpretation of Scripture. Okay, what do you have to say to that? Creative interpretation.
Well, I want to back up to the statement you said where the origin, the first paragraph where you said the origin of Christian identity was in the, was it early 1900s?
19th century, yeah.
Early 19th century.
Yeah.
You know, that is just a ridiculous statement. Like, we just came up with this racist ideology, you know, 150 years ago. Brother, I would argue that Christian identity began back in the Garden of Eden and has been with us ever since. The only thing that has come and gone is our realization of the truth. As our people have wandered in and out of a relationship with Yahweh over the centuries. But the identity of Yahweh's people has never not been here. Ever since the time that Eve gave birth to Abel and Cain killed Abel, and then Seth was born, and our seed line was established on the earth, that is the very essence of our belief. Right. Mm-hmm. That is what we call Christian identity. Nothing other than the fact that Yahweh's race has existed on the earth, and it evolved. I don't want to use the term evolved. It developed. Abraham was called, and Abraham was the true patriarch of our race after Adam. Abraham became the patriarch and gave birth, and you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes. And that was the spreading out of our people, our race, across the planet. And that is, you know, Abraham was a believer in Christian identity.
Yes, he was.
Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes. You know, the 19th century?
Right.
You kidding me? Our belief in our divine race has been around for a couple thousand years at least, more than that. And it's ridiculous to think that just some bunch of racists got together in the 19th century and figured out this whole peculiar theology. Right. That's insane.
Right.
No way that's the truth. Uh-huh. Abraham was a Christian identity adherent. Isaac, Jacob, all the 12 patriarchs.
Well, it's interesting because Pastor Martins and my shows with him regarding South Africa and the Boer people. The Boer people have always maintained their identity as Israelites, okay? And they had to flee Europe to get away from the wars between the Catholics and the Protestants. And actually, the Jews probably were financing both sides of those wars, too. But there was so much chaos in Europe that it was easy for these white Christians to forget who they were, okay? But there was always a remnant, such as the Boer people, and even the Pilgrims and Puritans who came to America considered themselves to be Israel. They referred to themselves as Israel. And at least one Supreme Court justice referred to our people as American Israel, our nation as right. American Israel. Okay, so this belief, as you're saying, has never disappeared. But the Judeo churches and the Jews have always tried to suppress it, and it's because of this conscious suppression by non-identity forces that has pushed it into the background.
Right, and it was sometime, if I'm not mistaken, mid to late 1800s, where the Jews began to they had a realization. If they could control the flow of information in the world in a generation, they could hoodwink the world into believing that they were the continuation of the 12 tribes of Israel and not us. Mm-hmm. And it was an audacious, satanically inspired plan. And they almost have pulled it off, but it wasn't going to be successful. But they pulled it off for a while. And many people are still under the impression that the Jews were indeed the 12 tribes, you know, that Abraham, all those patriarchs, they were all Jews. The Jews, the Israelites today are the, you know, the Jews. And it was a very evil plan that they almost pulled off.
Right,
and
almost.
Many people still fall for it. But mm-hmm. those of us that realize that the white race is the continuation of the 12 tribes, we see the world for what it is, and we see the Jews for who they are. That's why they hate us. Because we're shining the light on them constantly. Yes. Our very presence is a rebuke to their lies. That's why if they could push a button and we're destroyed, they would push the button immediately. You know,
yes.
They hate us, brother. They want to kill us.
Yeah, that's,
and
that's
if
right.
they find a way to do it, they would kill us all tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
They'd get rid of us.
Okay, let's finish off this paragraph. According to Michael Barkin, the leading historian of Christian identity, who I've never heard of.
never heard of him either. Who is the guy?
Who the hell is Michael Barkun? Barkun. Probably some Jew. The British.
I never even heard of the guy.
Neither have I. I've never heard of him. The British.
Brother, you're a leading proponent of Christian identity. If you've never heard of this guy, he's a rabbi tucked away in a probably hidden down in Dallas Theological Seminary somewhere, pretending to be a Christian.
I thought I was reading Mikhail Bakunin, the anarchist from who was a contemporary of Marx and hated Karl Marx when he realized he was just a stinking Jew. But no, this is Michael Barkun. This is somebody I've never heard of. In any case,
never heard the name.
Anyway, they say the British Israel peaked in the 1920s with approximately 5,000 adherents. Although eccentric, come on, all British people are eccentric. Damning with faint praise. British Israelites seem to have had no ambitious political agenda or animus, which is true, and were probably no more racist or anti-Semitic than the mainstream of Western culture at that time. Now, wait a minute here. I seem to recall that the Jews were highly resented coming to America, and the vast majority of white Americans did not want the Jews to come here. Nor are the British people or the Germans or the French or the Dutch happy with having Jews around either at this point in time. Okay? They're rewriting history.
It's what they do.
Yes.
I mean, when is a large group of Jews coming to your country ever a good thing?
Even a small group of Jews. Right? It's never a good thing. It's you want Jews like you want cockroaches.
It's the beginning of the end.
Yes.
It really is.
The bigger the group.
Yeah.
They must be sequestered and cordoned off like the plague. They must be quarantined like the plague and sent back to where they came from. Okay.
Amen.
All right. But unfortunately, we've tried Madagascar, right? They're still trying Palestine. That's still not working out too well. And if only Hitler could have sent them all to Madagascar.
Very clear the only true solution is extermination.
That's right.
And that's what Yahweh will do at the end of the age.
Yes.
And there's really nowhere you could send them that they wouldn't find a way to escape. Like a festering sore, they'd find a way to expel themselves and, worm their way into yet another white nation.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because it's interesting that the Jews know that we say this about them all the time. That Yahweh, and when Yahshua returns, that they will be exterminated. Okay?
That's right.
They know we say this about them, but they never report that. Why?
I think they hate to discuss it. I think deep down in their – I don't know that they have a soul, but they have some kind of an inner thing.
Well, they're afraid it'll come true.
Deep down they're terrified of judgment.
Yes, exactly.
Because they know they deserve it. They know they have it coming to them. For what they've done.
Right.
I mean, they themselves said, when they were the Christ killers, let his blood be upon us and our children. And I think deep down there's a curse upon them where they know we are worthy of eternal damnation.
And it terrifies
them. They don't want to talk about it. They pretend that when they die, it's the end. They don't believe in eternal life. They just think they go to sleep. They're scared to death to discuss eternity. Because deep down they know what awaits them.
Yeah, well said, brother. All right, folks, that's our time's up. This hour just really flew by. So we'll pick this up next week with more ADL commentary on who we are. Maybe they know what we really believe, right? Maybe. Could that be? Thanks for listening, folks. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. And good night, Pastor
Howard. Praise Yahweh, brethren. Glad to be here tonight. Thanks, Eli.
Bye-bye.